Just like this morning, I'm very grateful to be here. It's a good time. I told Pastor I was a little afraid, so he hired me some bodyguards here that are on the front row with me. Thank you for showing up. Not only are they my bodyguards, but that's my amen section. So you hear amen. That's coming from this section here. To the teenagers and stuff yesterday, once again, I can't say how much, even from a visitor looking at the work and stuff that you put in, you know, good job. You know, good job, because when your teenagers and stuff have to work for something, it's amazing how much more they will get out of it in the end. But if we just give it to them and it's free, it seems like oftentimes we can take it for granted if it's not something that we work for. Tonight, I want to talk to you about what I believe is one of the most misunderstood people in the Bible. I wish I could tell you that us Baptists have not forgotten this person. But oftentimes it seems like we take a step back from this individual because there's other crowds, or shall I say denominations, or people who say that they're Christians. They've hijacked this person from us. They've defined him as something that we do not know of. This person can be your best friend. This person is often said he's closer than a brother to us. It's amazing when we look at other denominations and they claim him and they say that, oh my soul, wasn't he with us today? But they never ever utter his name. That person in fundamental Baptist circles, Baptist alone circles, used to always be called out. The man of God used to always tell people that they needed to not only cleave to what he was saying, listen to that inner voice, but they're also saying, boy, it's time that we beg for his power. Oh, I have been said that I've said this and I believe it. If it was good enough for grandma, it's good enough for us. If it was good enough for grandpa, if it was good enough for our grandfathers, it should be good enough for us. Oh, that person that I'm talking about is the great Holy Spirit. Oh, the great Holy Spirit, he's one, if we talk about it today, and giving the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches today, everybody would think of somebody jumping up and down, parking like a chicken, waving back and forth. You ever seen those machines where they kind of blow up? They're waving back and forth. Boy, we would think something has gone crazy, but some people are like, whoa, preacher, man, the Holy Spirit was with us tonight. The preacher couldn't even get up and preach today because the Spirit was just moving. Well, that sounds nice, but it has no doctrine. Oh, but we've allowed those people to speak so loudly that we want to distance ourselves away from us, away from the Holy Spirit just saying his name. But the one thing that we need to do is turn the ship around and say, we need the Holy Spirit in our services again. Oh, can I tell you something? Sometimes I get around some older preachers, and man, they begin to talk about how God moved in this service, and man, how God moved in there, and man, how they would preach, and God would just move, and like literally scores of people would be coming down to the altar, and man, they had to move one service from this time to, man, moving back again. Man, we're having a revival service, and man, it would start out at 3 days, and now all of a sudden it's going for 2 weeks, and the people are like, give me more, give me more, give me more. You know what? I still believe that God can move the same way today. Amen. Oh, I wonder if it's the reason why he doesn't move today like he did yesterday is because of this thing. Oh, it's because of us with our acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if I could title this message, it would be the most misunderstood person in the Bible. Or would be Mr. Woo-hoo. And I'll explain that here in a minute. Heavenly Father, just like this morning, Lord God, this sermon isn't exactly a Sunday night sermon. Lord God, this is more of a Wednesday night. Lord God, we're going to have to listen on purpose. Oh, Holy Spirit, please have your way. I yield myself to you once again. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us the power to listen and the power to move whenever you speak. We give you the honor and praise. In your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen. I had a staff member. They were telling me the story. They said they were late for a meeting. They're like, when they were late for a meeting, they said that they had to get from point A to point B a little bit faster than is recommended on the signs. So they said they begin to move, and they did like all of us, Lord God, just keep us safe, or whatever, as we go a little bit faster than what we're supposed to on the highway. He said all of a sudden, he saw his son pop up, and he was like, son, you need to sit down in the back seat, put your seatbelt on. He said, but dad, he said, sit down. Then he said, all of a sudden, his son said, ooh, look, Christmas lights. All of a sudden, he looked in his rearview mirrors, and he heard, whoop, whoop. He said, immediately, he pulled the car over, and he waited for that lovely person to come knock at his door. Came knocking at the window, rolled down his door. He said, sir, do you know how fast you were going? He said he wanted to ask the cop, that's not the important question. I should be asking you, do you know how fast that I was going? He said he told him. He said the cop asked for his license and registration. And then the cop immediately went to the back. He said that was one of the longest times of his life, that waiting period. When the cop has all your information, and now he is moving satellites, getting information about you. And then all of a sudden, this cop walks back up to him and thanks him for contributing to the city by giving him a reward that says that you owe us this particular sum. Oh, if I could tell you today, what happened there is when he heard, whoop, whoop, and all of a sudden he's seen those lights, he sensed the power, or he sensed the presence that was there. We all know it. As soon as I said, whoop, whoop, everybody was like, oh. Why? Because we sense the power. We know what's going to happen. Then all of a sudden you pulled over because you acknowledged the power. Because we all know if you don't pull over, talk about having a friend that's going to join you very, very closely. And then, of course, not only do we acknowledge the power, or we sense the present, acknowledge the power, but then we fear the punishment. Well, I believe most of us, we realize when whoop happens, we immediately look down. Because we want to know, oh, let's hope. I've done something wrong that I know I'm not supposed to, and we fear the punishment for what we're doing. That's a little bit close to when we look back at John chapter 16 and verse 8 here. It says, and when he has come, oh, this is the Holy Spirit talking here. See, you must understand what has happened here. Oh, the disciples, can you imagine? You've walked with him. You've talked with him. You've seen him perform the miracles. You've seen everything that he's done. But now, all of a sudden, the stuff that he told you would come to pass has now come to pass. He is gone. He is no longer with you. And then all of a sudden, he reappears. And now he's telling you again that he has to leave again. And he says, if I go, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. He said, but I have to go, because if I don't go, then there's another one who won't come behind me. Oh, let's read it again. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is speaking for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Of course, this is Christ speaking. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, oh, that thing that I talked about, his presence, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Well, that reprove is acknowledging his power. Then, after reproving the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, boy, that's the punishment that's going to come. You say, what does all this mean? What is all this talking about? This is talking about the Holy Spirit. But see, one must understand, the Holy Spirit has not come to be feared like one would suggest. Oh, no, no, just like a cop, when he comes to the rescue, he is not coming normally to be feared. Most of the time when we call 911, we are calling 911 because we are in distress. We are in need of help. And when we hear that whoop, 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 and we know that it's coming near, we are anxiously trying to get that individual to come to us to help, to meet our needs at that particular time. It's a welcome thing. Thank you, officer. Here's what's going on. Please help them right now. Officer, we don't know why this cuckoo person is now here. Please remove them from the premises. Something's not right with them. Please help them. Well, that same way is the way that the Holy Spirit has come. Oh, but the Holy Spirit, like I said, has not come to be feared. That's why another name for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter that we read here. Oh, how many times have you needed somebody? Maybe it was the time of bereavement. Oh, it seemed like no matter what anybody said, as nice as they were trying to be, if you need anything, I'm absolutely there for you, but it seemed like those words just kind of hit a wall. Boy, you needed someone to be there. You needed someone to stand with you. And the only comfort that would truly last is the Comforter. Oh, but the question that I have for you is now, because sin and the Spirit cannot peacefully coexist, the Christian must yield one to the other. It says, if you have sin in your life, the Holy Spirit's job is to make you miserable. Because the Holy Spirit and the flesh cannot peacefully coexist. Oh, you ever heard that we are in a spiritual warfare? Oh, the Bible even talks about if God actually opened our eyes to everything that was actually going on amongst us, it would probably be more than what we can handle. That's why he doesn't do it that way. Oh, you ever talk about people talking about the spiritual world and everything there? Well, we're not going to get into everything that the spiritual world could happen, whatever, or some of the prophecy things that people talk about. But I will tell you this, it's real. Oh, the spiritual world and the spiritual things, they are real. In Romans chapter 7, in verse 15, going back to the flesh there, that's why the Apostle Paul has said, he said, for that which I do, I allow not, for what I would do, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do. Boy, that's one of the tongue twisters that we often quote. Oh, what is he saying there? He's saying there's often times where there's this battle going on between us, or whatever, between us and the flesh. No, you shouldn't. Yes, you should. We've all seen the cartoons where they had the little angel that's like, you need to do this, and then you have the little devil, or whatever, who's the mean and mischievous one. Oh, go ahead and do it. Oh, who cares? Oh, you know what? You know, ask for forgiveness later. But oh, oftentimes, the Christian needs to remember the Holy Spirit. Oh, oftentimes, how many times have, I remember there was a new convert, he had just gotten saved in a revival, man, he was excited, and he didn't know, realize what he was doing was wrong outside of the church, and all of a sudden he came back the next day and he said, hey brother, can I talk to you? He said, something's going on, I don't know what God's doing. I was like, absolutely. He pulled him aside, I'm like, what's going on? He said, brother, when I do this stuff, or whatever, ever since last night, man, my heart begins to the burdens, and I can literally have like palpitations. Something's telling me that I shouldn't do it. He's like, I can't understand what's going on. I said, my friend, welcome to the Christian life. I was like, that is called the Holy Spirit. And I told him to you, I was like, you better not ever say no to him. You bet every single time you need to listen to them. Boy, wouldn't it be good if everybody in the church house were on the same accord and they listened to that inward voice, that voice that tells you that, hey, that sin that he's preaching about, or hey, whatever he's preaching about, and it's right there on your, man, he's stepping on your toes, he's doing whatever, instead of you just sitting there like oftentimes that we do, well, he's going to need to point to me. Boy, we were discussing that earlier. Boy, there was times when the Holy Spirit would speak to me, and I'd be like, no, he can't be speaking to me, or whatever. That's just a pure coincidence. He's going to have to point to me. And then all of a sudden, the man of God would, poof, and I'm like, oh, no, no. Silly example. Well, the Holy Spirit's job is to make sin so bad that the Christian is miserable and feels guilty and unclean at the way they're living. That way they have to turn back and get things right with their God. Oftentimes, I ask, how can a Christian go week to week, day by day, sometimes month by month, living in sin and not feel anything? Oh, oftentimes, how many times have the man of God said, hey, I've been watching you. There's a little bit something different about you. Hey, I'm not sure what you're getting into or what's going on in your life. And God literally sends us that warning or whatever, and we don't take heed to it. Or we say, oh, nothing's going on with me, and we push aside the man of God. Oftentimes we push aside the Holy Spirit as he begins to speak to us. And there becomes a problem there. Because there's a Holy Spirit that lives in every Christian life that is supposed to reprove us of sin. Boy, it says there in John chapter 16, verse 8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. When we look there at that word, reprove, it says oftentimes, if you want to dig a little deeper in God's word, which I encourage you to do this, or whatever, studying the Bible is just not meant for the preacher. Oh, me and the pastor was talking about this yesterday. Our congregations are dying of people that actually know their Bible again, who actually yearn for the Word of God and yearn to get something out of the Word of God. Hey, we need people that have power behind the pulpits, and we also need to have people who have the power in front of the pulpits. Again, when's the last time, not only did you read your Bible, when's the last time you studied your Bible? Because my Bible says to study, to show thyself approved. Oh, this area of the Holy Spirit, whatever, if he pricked your heart there, I encourage you to listen to him. Oh, but when we get to this area of reprove, reprove us of sin, when you look it up in the Greek, it says to convince. Oh, the Holy Spirit is to convince us. And then all of a sudden, I looked that up, and it said to persuade. So he's to convince us, maybe to persuade us. And then all of a sudden, I was like, well, I'll just keep going with it. You know, oftentimes, you look it up, and it refers you to another word. And all of a sudden, it refers you to another word. And we went to from convince to persuade, and then all of a sudden to convict, to prove one's guilty. I said, what in the world is the Holy Spirit doing here? Then I begin to think about it. There I am. I'm saved. I've got God living inside of me, who can't even stand the sight of sin. By the way, that's when Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, and the Bible says that all of our sins came upon him, that even God himself turned his back. Why? Because of this thing called sin. Oh, but now the Holy Spirit has come, and God cannot stand the sight of sin. In fact, it is often said in the Bible that God hates sin. So when I commit a sin, or when sin is committed, something has to happen. Oh, and through the Holy Spirit, he convicts me. Boy, something is not right. Boy, do you think you did the right thing there? Boy, I don't think you did the right thing there. Then all of a sudden, not only does he convince me that, oh man, you may be going down the right road, the wrong road, he persuades me, boy, I think you need to do something about this. But I want to do something about this. No one else even knows about this. I know about this. I think it's time that you need to do something. And all of a sudden he convicts me and says, you know you're wrong. Stop fighting me. You know you're wrong. You know you're guilty. It doesn't matter who else knows, I know, and you need to get this thing right. Oh, but like I said before, so many Christians go day to day living with or living not asking for the Holy Spirit or yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's one thing that I would tell you about the Holy Spirit is we need people to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit again. Like I said this morning when that scripture says, I die to myself, or talking about him dying daily, that simply was him, Lord God, not my will, but thy will. Oh, Lord God, if there's somebody that I need to talk to, please give me the knowledge. Please help my heart to burn within. Please convince me, please to persuade me to go over and talk to them. So, Lord God, so you can convict them. That way they know that they can go to heaven too. Oh, Heavenly Father, how many times have we just walked by somebody or whatever that is lost, and we can give them the best news that they could ever hear. But we're not locked into this area where the Holy Spirit is locked in, and we just walk by. And we casually just let them basically go on their way to hell. Oh, I wonder how many times the Bible talks about the great judgment throne that's going to be there. And the Bible even talks about blood being in certain people's hands, dripping there. Oh, can I tell you one of my fears is, oh, I will be one of those people where I didn't want to talk to them. Maybe it was that day where I just didn't want to be with anybody, didn't want to talk to anybody. I was just kind of grumpy. One of those old men that I was talking about or whatever, I was looking more at the rock instead of the honey, and all of a sudden, the devil has me exactly where he wants that one person. Maybe that one person that God really wanted me to talk to, that's the reason why I was here for my whole life, and that person walks right by. Maybe I was the only person that person would listen to. Whatever. Do you realize that you have people in your life that will listen to you that would never ever listen to me?
Sure.
They will immediately put up a brick wall. They would never ever listen to me. But you, having the power of the Holy Spirit within you, who convinces people, who persuades them, and who convicts them, can go with his power to them. And he can do something extraordinary, just like he did in your heart. Oh, it says in John, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But the question that I have for you is, how often does your heart burn within? Oh, does the Holy Spirit convict you? Oh, does he still burn within? Oh, when the preacher gets up and maybe he's preaching at your doorstep, maybe it seems like he's inside your house or whatever. How does he know that we're watching that? How does he know that we're doing that? How does he know all these different things about me personally? I don't talk to him as much as I possibly should. How does he know these different things? It's this person called the Holy Spirit. Oh, one has to say, if he doesn't talk to you, either you really don't know him, he's not inside of you, or maybe we have pushed him aside. The Bible talks about a quenching of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I still believe the only true way to quench the Holy Spirit is to reject him, to reject the gospel. That way one day we're going to perish because we've rejected what he's offered. But then all of a sudden, Pastor, I was in another town, and the pastor asked me to make a visit with him. And I made a visit with him, and he said that this young man's parents are going to meet us when we arrive at our destination. And we arrived at this destination, and they met us there. In fact, I had just got off the plane, and I was wearing some jeans. And when we went there, jeans and a collared shirt, and we went there to meet with this young man, they said, I'm sorry, sir, but you have to change. And they gave me something else different to put on because they didn't want me to look like the people that were inside. Then all of a sudden, I went from there, and I went through this metal detector. And then they asked me several questions, and they had me empty out everything in my pockets. And then eventually, after waiting for some time, we were in this room, sitting, me, the pastor, his mom and dad at this long table waiting for their son. Eventually, you heard, all of a sudden the door opened. This boy had this deformed bracelet on. It was connected in the middle with chains. Not only was it connected in the middle with chains, it was connected all the way down to his ankles, and then all of a sudden it branched off there, and he literally came into the room, hollering. When he sat down in the chair that they had designated for him, they strapped him to the table. Oh, at this time, I wanted to ask, what did this young man do? Because I was just going along, but now it's getting real. Who am I sitting in front of? We begin to talk. They introduced the young man to me. I can tell that instantly it caught his attention what I did. You can see the tears begin to swell, but he would quickly try to wipe them away because that's the persona that he had to keep up where he was at this jail. All of a sudden, after a few conversations, he went back to me. He said, hey, he's like, I need you to tell everybody that you speak to a message. He's like, I need you to hear me loud and clear. He said, don't be like me. I said, absolutely. He's like, no, you don't understand. He's like, you don't understand. He's like, the Holy Spirit would speak to me during the services. And he would tell me of things that I was doing and that I needed to get things right, whatever. And he said, I had to make a choice. And he said, I did not want to listen to that inner voice, or whatever. He's like, I wanted to curse the pastor. I wanted to curse the church because it made me feel so uncomfortable. He said, so literally during the invitation, I decided to do the very opposite of what the preacher wanted me to do. The preacher wanted me to come forward to get things right. He said, so I walked out of the back door. When I walked out of the back door, he said, literally, he said, I walked outside and I shook my fist at God. And he repeated what he told God, and I will never say that in the house of God. But basically, he told God where he could go in the Holy Spirit. He said, from that day on, God did not speak to me. He's like, I try to read my Bible, and it's literally like me just reading pages of whatever you want to say that I'm reading. He said, I try to speak to God. He's like, I have other men pray over me. And he said, because of that decision that I made, he's like, I truly rejected the Holy Spirit. I said, young man, I've never heard anything like that in my entire life. I was like, so at no particular time, he said, do you ever pray and literally feel your prayers bouncing around in the room? Because they're not going anywhere. He said, that's what I feel on a daily basis. He's like, whew. Then he hit the table. Boom! You know, everybody wants to be Mr., you know, wants to be the man. Boom! You hit the table and you're just like, don't scare me. But he's like, boom! Everybody, whoo! Kind of jumped. He's like, don't be like me! Don't be like me! Don't be like me! And of course, obviously, he's raising his voice. So you see the prison guard come there and look in the window to make sure that everything's all right. And the parents kind of, you know, tell him that everything's all right with tears coming down. Why? Because one man chose to reject the perfect gift that God has given you and has given me called the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not sure what you have going on in your life, but there comes a point in time where we all have to check ourselves within. Oh, I'm not asking you what your wife knows or what your next door neighbor knows or what whoever else knows of you. Well, if you have something that needs to be taken care of in this matter of with the Holy Spirit, you need to be found faithful. Oh, some of us, the reason why the Holy Spirit's job is to convince us, to persuade us, and to convict us is because nothing can be between us and our Heavenly Father. See, for instance, let's just imagine here. Pastor's my father. I'm not quite there. Pastor's my father. All of a sudden, I want something from Dad. But there's stuff between us. I never talk to him. I never listen to him. Then all of a sudden, when I come to him, he's not going to be very apt to give me what I want. Why? Because there's stuff between us. But if I get those things right, and I confess, it is my fault, and I am sorry, and then I get those things right, boy, how more apt he is to help me. Well, you know, you have been doing what you're supposed to, and we have won the lottery from this morning, and God is good, so we're going to give you that Lamborghini that you've been wanting. Yes, thanks a lot, Dad. Man, it'd be so awesome. Can I bring it down to you legally? I called my friend who was in Miami. She's a lawyer. Very, very successful lawyer. Still to this day, as far as I know, she's undefeated in the court cases. I talked to her, and I began to tell her the job of the Holy Spirit. And she started laughing out loud, and I was like, okay, did I say something funny? Like, I didn't get the punchline here. She said, you don't understand what you just said there. I said, can you please enlighten me on what I don't understand? She said, my job as a prosecuting attorney sometimes is to call that person onto the stand. And when I call them onto the stand, she's like, I need to convince them that they were there. That's why I say on May the 11th, 2000, where were you at? That gets them to admit that they were there. She's like, then all of a sudden, she's like, I go from that to persuading them that there's a problem. This happened, and you were there, correct? Well, were you not there? Yes. And this was committed? So something happened, correct? Yes. And you were there, correct? Yes. And she's like, my job is to convince them that they're guilty. So if you were there and nobody else was there, you need to admit that there's a problem there so we can get things right. Prove without a shadow of a doubt that there's there. And I said, absolutely. I was like, well, there's only one thing different from what you do to what the Holy Spirit does. And she says, what's that? I was like, when we are found guilty, because we are all sinners, we're all found guilty, then all of a sudden, he said, Your Honor, and he takes off this hat, and he walks over to the other side. And when he walks over to the other side, he is now the defending attorney. He has now changed course, and now he's offending us. And he said, Your Honor, he said, he is guilty of everything that has just been brought to you. He said, but there's one evidence that we haven't quite looked at yet. He said, all of a sudden the doors begin to open and they roll down something. The Bible says that it even speaks for you and for me, talking about the blood of Jesus. And how, when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And because of heaven, because of Calvary, now we are found not guilty because that price has already been paid. I'm not sure what's going on in your life, but it's time as a church again, we get the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Or if he's convicting you of something, get it right. If he's telling you that you need to move on something that's biblical, don't come to the pastor and be like, Pastor, I believe that God wants me to be the assistant pastor because that's what the Holy Spirit tells me. Well, if you have nothing biblically to back it up on, just like this, the perfect example is this. It's amazing today how God's people in the church house will come to the pastor, who the person that you're supposed to be going to advice with, and they will tell the pastor, basically, what they're doing. Hey, Pastor, Thank you for pastoring me. I just want you to know that I'm moving my family. I found a better career job in this area. Just wanted you to know that I'm leaving. Instead of asking the pastor, "Pastor, I found this job. What do you think about it?" Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to the pastor, and he said, "Let me ask you this. Is there a home church in that town that you're going to?" "Well, no, they really don't have anything." Well, the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly. What do you think is going to happen to your kids if they don't have church? What do you think is going to happen to your family if they're not surrounded by God? I don't think that's the price that you want to pay. So let's try to look for something else. It gives you that godly counsel. Just like I said this morning, that's why you should go to the preacher. It worries me sometimes when people don't want to go to the preacher because they know that they're trying to justify something in their life, not listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need people again. When it comes to this area of praying, is praying with power for the Holy Spirit. Oh, there was a pastor. I was with him. We're almost done. I was with him in a question and answer. He had 30,000 people that attended his church every single Sunday. He was talking. And one of the pastors said, "Brother, every time you get up, you can tell that it's the Holy Spirit that is with you." He said, "Thank you." He's like, "But I am no different than you." He's like, "Your church is no different than my church." He said, "The reason why I am successful," he said, "why I believe I am successful," he said, "not only do I yield myself to the Holy Spirit and say, 'Holy Spirit, not my will, but thy will,'" he said, "but I have church members who practice the same thing." He said, "every single time when I travel around America," he said, "I have a room underneath a pulpit," he said, "where 12 to 15 men sit there and they pray for their pastor and they pray for God's power on their pastor." He's like, "These are men that can get a hold of God at a moment's notice. These are men of God. These are men, the laymen, that are filled with God's power because they've listened to this area of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "That's why when I preach, oh, the Holy Spirit moves, is because I have all these people that are coming together with the same cause. And oh, the Holy Spirit hears us and convinces and persuades and convicts." Oh, if it works there, it can work here. Oh, imagine if all of you have the power of the Holy Spirit and you all pray for your pastor. You pray for God to give him a vision. You pray for God to give him the wisdom to help your family. Maybe it's during that time of need where it seems like everybody else is coming to you. And man, they're telling you something and it seems like, man, it's just like water. It's just washing away. There's nothing that seems to be working. Then all of a sudden, the pastor comes. Oh, we've all had those times where it seemed like it's 1 or 2 in the morning. Oh, I was just in a church where we literally, I believe we got to the hospital, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And we had found out that a loved one was going to be with Jesus. And no one else from the church was there. Oh, their friends and everybody else that were out there in the world, nobody else was there. But there was one who was faithful. There was one who still showed up. And there was one who comforted the family like no one else. That was the pastor who had the power of the Holy Spirit that came with him. Oh, imagine if you prayed. Can I tell you this? Oftentimes when we pray, we're a little selfish. "Lord God, I need you to take care of so-and-so need and take care of so-and-so need." And if we're not careful, we can say, "Lord God, I don't agree with the way that you're treating so-and-so, and I don't agree with the way that you're treating so-and-so, so Lord God, you need to fix it." If we're not careful, we can come across that way. Then oftentimes, we pray for just stuff that we want. Oh, I encourage you next time you go to pray, "Holy Spirit, what do I need to pray for? Who do I need to pray for?" Oh, and start writing down the names that he tells you. Oftentimes, I pray the same thing, and I may text the pastor and be like, "Brother, I just want you to know I just went to the throne for you. I just prayed for you," and I get a response back, "Brother, this is happening whatever in my life. It's amazing that you even knew to pray during that time where I really, really needed you. Thank you so much." oh, that credit doesn't go to me. That credit goes to him. Why? Because I just yielded myself to him. Oh, let's get back to being all yielded to the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. He'll help you if you let him. He'll help you when you're in your prayer life if you let him. Well, we always talk about the Holy Spirit being the intercessor, the go-between there between us and God. Oh, instead of him having to drop some stuff that we really don't need, shall I say it? I'm confessing to you, the Lamborghini, I really don't need it, even though it really, really would be nice. I really don't need it, and I'm pretty sure of it. I'm like, Heavenly Father, if you do give me a Lamborghini, I'll make sure that everybody knows it from you. He probably thinks, okay, the Holy Spirit probably goes, well, Heavenly God, he needs a new automobile. Maybe something a little bit more reliable. No, no, Lamborghini. 12 cylinders. Well, Lord God, he's traveling a lot, so he probably needs something that's a little bit better on gas than the 12 cylinders. Let's be yielded to him. If he has convicted you, sometimes he convicts us of different things. Music is one. Standards is another. Oftentimes, oh, we just push it aside. Sometimes I'll have personal standards that are a little bit higher than the person next to me. Why? Because maybe that's a little thorn in my flesh that I have that I need to set up some. By the way, I don't have to go on my pulpit, my bully pulpit, and bully everybody else that doesn't have the same standards as me. It's a personal thing. So I say, Heavenly, all right, Holy Spirit, I yield myself because that's a weakness there. Some of you, maybe there's sin in the camp. Maybe you're into something, doing something, thinking about something that you have no business doing. Well, I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Well, I encourage you to be found faithful. We can all dress up. We can all talk the talk. We can all look so pretty, right? Amen section.
Amen. Pretty, pretty.
We can be rotten on the inside. Or we can dress up. We can look sharp like everybody in here. Man, we can take a shower and smell good. Man, sharp congregation. Or we can be like rotten bones on the inside because we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's be found faithful. Heavenly Father, thank you for the pastor here. Thank you for his family. Lord God, thank you for protecting him. Oh, Heavenly Father, if I could ask for your power, Lord God, I'd ask for your power to continue to fall upon him, to continue to fall upon this place. Oh, Lord God, please help when everybody walk in here, they notice that something's different with this church, something's different with this congregation, something different with these church members, Lord God, because they are filled and yielded to you. Amen.
We still have one praise, so be mindful of that. Be respectful. It's been good to be in God's house. Oh, to know that the Spirit of God moves. Thank you, Brother Jamie, for preaching to us today and being with us this week. We do ask the Lord to bless you and your ministry as you go, and hope to see you back down this way soon. Anytime you're in, you just stop by and see us. We'd love to have you there. The Holy Spirit's not a subtraction of the Godhead, just an additive part. He's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We need more of the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead us through the Word, that we might live by the Word. Show forth the testimony of the Word. By the power of the Spirit, we're grateful that the Holy Spirit of God is given to us as evidence of salvation. It's a pretty good deal. God himself would move in an old ragged sinner like us and take up residence. That's a good subject, brother. Thank you for listening to the Spirit of God tonight. Don't forget to be safe as you go. Enjoy your week. Enjoy God. There's too many of us, and we just don't enjoy God. He's just like a token. We could put him in one of them one-legged jack gambling things. We'd use it. But enjoy God. He loves us. He does. Father, we love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God. Thank you for loving us enough to give us a comforter. One that helps us to pray when we don't know how to pray. Advocates on our behalf. The Lord watches over us and directs and guides, persuades and convicts. All with tenderness. All with gentleness. And with godly love. Thank you for such a wonderful gift as the Holy Spirit to live within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.